Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
electronically enhanced science demonstration. Peter Colin Hill, Glenbrook Advanced Concepts Institute, Glenbrook, NSW, Australia. Abstract. The reasons we use demonstrations to teach science and the scale of organization required by schools to deliver them are outlined. The reasons for electronic enhancement is given as higher quality control of scientific concepts, electronic tracking of inventory, distributed manufacture. Introduction. Every high school has amassed at least 500 demonstrations. They are kept as their body of evidence to convince their students that science actually works. To uncover how all this works, we consider the answers to three questions. Question 1. What is the secret of these demonstrations that makes them so compelling? They make science real. If the workings of some effect has already been discussed, then seeing is believing. If not, students are intrigued and are moved to ask, I wonder what is causing that. It is an authentic testimony from nature herself. A demonstration which is handed over to students to figure it out for themselves is called a practical demonstration. This term is variously abbreviated to practical or just prac. The reason for using demonstrations is that they lay an authentic foundation upon which we hope students will go on to build a rigorous understanding. Question 2, how can we get our students to see as many of these demonstrations as possible? There is a well-honed system that efficiently cycles each one out of storage, presents it and puts it back again. A succession of demonstrations is selected so they seem to naturally follow the flow of the syllabus. Nowadays, students can experience a significant number of these demonstrations thanks to a system that has built up over the decades. An estimate of the scale of this operation can be calculated using some approximations. A typical high school has 1,000 students. They are divided into 6 levels. Each level is further divided into 6 classes of 25 to 30 students. Each class requires at least 2 demonstrations per week spanning 36 instruction weeks. In New South Wales alone, there are over 800 high schools. In total, they employ behind the scenes over 1,000 specially trained staff to manage these demonstrations. We do not feign to be accountants, but offer an estimate based on consumables, wages, and on costs of $65 million. This is in the context of a 2019 budget of $18.5 billion odd. The answer to question 2 is to scale up and industrialize, spending less than 0.4% of the education budget. Given the answer to question 1, it is critical to get this 0.4% right. Future options could be to vary the spend or increase the productivity. Question 3, at the end of the day, where does this parade of demonstrations actually get the student? The standard proviso, when you get to university you will be told to forget everything you ever learned at school, indicates that the answer to this question is probably not simply a high-quality understanding. There is often an alignment between an accessible textbook description, past and upcoming exam papers, recollections of what the teachers themselves learned in their school days, and what are, when all is said and done, entrenched misconceptions. Year after year, students draw electrons that are smaller than the nucleus. They also firmly believe clocks on a train appear to run at the same speed approaching and receding from the observer. These ideas are deeply flawed but required in the educational frame of reference and so rarely get challenged. There is a notional interest in the feedback from scientists, but it is hard for a teacher to credit the significance of what scientists are trying to tell them. This paper tells the story of taking a pause on our current ineffective piecemeal objections and working on a more coordinated strategy that figuratively places a under new management sign on the demonstrations. Electronic enhancement of demonstrations uses programmable logic controls, PLC, and computers built within the demonstration to inject expert analysis that upgrades the presentation and support material. The same electronics that assists in the presentation also allows migration of the demonstrations into a modern asset management system. Finding killer apps. Building demonstrations into regularly shaped boxes that incorporate tracking telemetry connected to the web will facilitate storage and retrieval. Add to this electronics sensors and digital displays, and in the eyes of students the demonstrations come to life. If this were to be proposed in 1960, it would be seen in the realm of science fiction. Now it is a speculative application of existing technology. Just 10 years Uber, the cashless economy, RFID library book tracking were proposed systems that were consigned by many at the time to overly enthusiastic, unrealistic speculations. Upon alerting teachers of the current technologies that are already up and running in other fields, it seems a small step to ask, why aren't we using these ideas in our school demonstrations? The typical response from teachers has been clearly, it is possible now, but it is not going to sort out my sock drawer. The general feeling was, as we have an existing solution, any benefit of using technology would be outweighed by the complexity and the risks of failure. On the ground, in prep rooms staffed by laboratory assistants, a seemingly constant stream of demands leaves little room for new ideas. A typical order might be for a bag of balloons and markers for a practical student activity that demonstrates to students our expanding universe. Galaxies are drawn on the surface of the balloon and move away from each other more rapidly the further they are from each other as the student blows in more air. Because the salaries and consumables are prepaid, it is thought of as being for free. Entrepreneurs who are ahead of the market navigate through what is known as the status quo bias by asking what is the killer app. Although killer app is an informal term in common use, it requires definition. A feature, function, or application of a new technology or product which is presented as virtually indispensable or much superior to rival products. Killer app #1, deliver genuine science content. Electronically enhanced science demonstrations could dramatically reduce misconceptions, directly by improving the rigor of concepts presented and indirectly by enabling students to tinker and validate what they see. As an example, we will look at a demonstration that shows the quantum spin of electrons causing a pendulum to rock when it is pushed by changing magnetic fields. Its formal title is the Einstein-de Haas experiment. Being a direct demonstration of quantum mechanics, it is a first of its kind in an area which has been largely off-limits to schools. This working prototype was developed as its setup is so involved that it can only be demonstrated with electronic enhancement. The current demonstration is seen in a clear plastic box that, on being plugged into a mains socket, demonstrates the oscillation via motion of a laser beam that emerges through the lid. Battery versions will simply detect its environment and begin working on voice command. The following walkthrough builds a picture of how this demonstration will be shown to students. Description of the role played by electronic enhancement is included. The teacher, on planning the lesson, selects the demonstration from a drop-down list. In storage, the unit self-tests, confirming its availability. A red dot badge on the student's education phone app alerts them to preparatory material. A folder of texts, videos, and adaptive podcasts are now accessible to students via the app. As adaptive podcasts have only recently been feasible and few have direct experience of them, we will now go into sufficient detail to explain how they work. For certain types of students and at certain phases of development, this could prove to be a key enabler and therefore merits careful explanation. The adaptive podcast we have so far developed is based on a core text document containing section heading. These are preview, lesson, main points, point explanations, question from the explanation, correct answer, and alternative incorrect answers. A program interprets a request for a type of podcast and then synthesizes a script by splicing together sections in the core text document. The student selects the appropriate level of difficulty, speed, pitch, language, gender, and accent. Google WaveNet Cloud text-to-speech has been judged as remarkably close human delivery. The podcast can be streamed or downloaded. Students can listen during commute or as an in-class lesson. In the latter context, the answers to the multiple choice are given at the end or scanned. During private study, students can respond by keyboard, touch screen, voice recognition, or shaking their phone. The motivation is to offer the opportunity to learn while on transport to and from school. Looking for other such time windows, we have trialed proof of principle tutoring using the touch screen on a gym treadmill. Here the student learns while exercising. It is at this point teachers have asked for clarification: can we have the adaptive podcasts without electronically enhanced demonstrations? Or the other way around? The answer is yes, but we have assessed that both these technologies are coming and work well with each other using the same infrastructure. At the lesson, the unit can address the students directly synchronized with electronic whiteboard display. The components named and illuminated. Using information gained from the preliminary work of students, the unit can ask questions, addressing students by first name. Although there is a clear advantage of teachers explaining expert opinions rather than experts rationalizing teacher explanations, there is provision to wind back the science to a level that the teacher is comfortable with. As different misconceptions are selected, warning alerts are provided. The content provided is peer-reviewed and, like any online software, regularly updated. We propose to have demonstrations operating in parallel in different sites, allowing variations and collecting performance data. Recording of teacher feedback spoken into the box at the end of each session will appear on the unit icon in the asset software. This would allow for evolutionary development of the demonstration. The feedback has not been confined to conceptual accuracy, but engineering controls and features designed to validate concepts. In this case, the students can apply magnetic field to insulating glass, non-magnetic copper, and insulating but magnetic ferrite. The last option only displays motion. Killer app #2, smart inventory. The first difference seen on entry into a demonstration storeroom that houses electronic enhanced units is that the irregularly shaped open top boxes will be reduced to occupying only a few shelves. The rest of the store will have stacks of transparent document boxes. Some are single document boxes, others are multiples fused together. Each has Arduino or Raspberry Pi inside, powered by power banks. These charge by external contact to rail or through stack charging. In the last mode, the top of each box forms the docking station for the next unit. The units charge in storage and report their health by Wi-Fi. Linked to the order system, they use monitoring of Wi-Fi routers to triangulate their position to refine their GPS location. If they are ordered, they write class particulars on their electronic paper label. These are just like ink printed labels but have wires connecting them to the Arduino or Raspberry Pi. This is the technology of Kindles and use electrostatic fields to rotate microspheres that flip to reveal a black underside. When the assistant enters the storeroom, the first of the items lights up. Different job lots have different colors. If the item has not been located, a customized ringtone can be issued. As one item is selected, the next in sequence alerts. Because units have GPS and local area tracking, they don't necessarily need to return to base. In the scenario that due to expansion, some classrooms are at a different end of the campus, a unit can be stored locally in a cupboard hibernating on battery power. As it's not a mobile phone, the power banks are a supermarket item. Notionally, in extreme cases, the unit could request an auxiliary power supply be installed. The units can software update or via use of their electronic ink labels have themselves shipped for firmware upgrades or end-of-life recycling. Units could tour outside the institutional setting, circulating through preschools, servicing ill children, homeschooling, remote communities speaking local dialects, diplomatic missions, cruise ships, and community groups such as University of the Third Age. These extra-institutional applications have little direct interest to those running the day-to-day of demonstrations. The extraterritorial applications seem even further beyond consideration. A consortium of NGOs and technology firms with support from crowdfunding could drop in short-term ready-to-go STEM schools into disaster regions. Shipping containers stocked with shelves of demonstrations and resource materials could be transported. Integration of solar panels and satellite communication would allow stand-alone operation. Fold-out shelter classrooms could allow remote teaching from donor countries. This could operate in the time between the disaster and conventional rebuild of infrastructure. When the mobile school has finished its mission, it can be refurbished and held in readiness. Killer App #3, Crowd Manufacture. Of the three demonstration prototypes currently developed, 90 to 100% of the components are off the shelf and require only a soldering iron, screwdrivers, wire cutters, and strippers to assemble. In a notional scenario, we begin with a relative of the person who will assemble the demonstration. There is Christmas or a birthday, and they are looking for a gift. Following suggestions from social media, they find the Learn Through Building website. They can notify their online social group who can contribute to the purchase of the present. The construction of a demonstration is assessed giving the builder a certified crypto qualification using blockchain. They can currently select from Duck Dancers to Doctor Who, Ultra School Lab, Einstein's Quantum Pendulum. An order placed will generate component orders that will be aggregated and shipped to the recipient. To account for the 10% not off the shelf, some component mounts have to be 3D printed while the pendulum support has to be set in resin, then shipped. Our notional manufacturer may find support from knowledgeable family members or the online open source community that currently supports a variety of hobbies from building your own computer to Arduino projects. Discussion boards and videos keep users viably engaged. The demonstrations can be built in stages. The first might be the benchtop demonstration of the effect, with subsequent orders for the packaging, battery banks, and GPS. This is efficient as components are delivered just in time, and in reality, a fraction of people will lose interest or find something else of higher priority. The initial teacher perspective on this is that a significant fraction of the population will not have the skill to assemble kits and are likely to produce topical popular demonstrations in favor of the prosaic one that may be required. Expeditionary science lead strategy. Thus far we have painted a picture of science education stuck in a rut and a new strategy of scientists sending in a form of robotic cavalry. We have passed the fair enough criteria, with cleaner, more robust explanations, something reminiscent of driverless cars in terms of the behind-the-scenes management and a contemporary approach to distributed manufacture. How very STEM? Most of the time scientists are pictured as playing a support role in the context of the main drama. Think Scotty in the engine room of the Enterprise in Star Trek. However, there are occasions where science and leadership combine. Think Douglas Mawson's Arctic expeditions. The Husky teams had to be attached to the sleds of provisions and equipment. The information on the ground had to be fed back into the teams. The teams set out to explore the whole region, heading off to different objectives. The elements of science practice, as described in the textbooks, can be identified but embedded at key points. The scientific method, also known as induction, is explicitly used in a stage of prototype development in which the prototype is designed for induction. This is the middle phase called the research prototype. It is preceded by the concept prototype and followed by the production prototype. The use of double-blind testing and statistical evaluation of results are simply the benchmark data quality levels before any concrete claims are made. As with expeditions of old, different perspectives have different objectives. A clear education objective is to increase the bandwidth of who is using demonstrations and what they can teach. Thus, of the three prototypes, one covers the traditional syllabus, one is aimed at engaging a general and primary school audience, and the last of the three aims at ideas outside the current range. Near, middle, far. A clear science objective is to scope out post-1920 science that can be understood but not comprehended. We can understand one, but we can't comprehend it. We can understand wave functions, we can draw mathematical pictures of our understanding, but we can't comprehend them from our day-to-day experience. Particles have spin, something called S2 symmetry, which has double rotation, or 720 symmetry, which, living out our existence in S3 symmetry, we can understand but not comprehend. In expedition parlance, rather than turn our back on post-1920 science because it is too hard, we are seeking out trig points. Such points are markers on the top of hills or mountains that map makers used to find their way forward. As it possible to identify use of science strategies of induction and double-blind testing at different point there is overlap with strategic thinking from other disciplines? Those working in the respective fields will find points of difference and points of similarity with their strategic thinking. In financial strategy of strategic overlay looks at coordinating the strategies of different portfolio. Here we consider the operation of students, teachers, support staff, and scientists. We look at three different prototypes as technology portfolios for introduction, mid-range, and advanced users. We borrow from a number of military strategies. The simplest of these is the recognition of a strategic context. Clausewitz's center of mass is a much discussed as it is a highly allegorical expression of the idea of the key concept that enables a system. This explains the reasoning behind demonstrating quantum effects and spin that can't be done in the old system. Tracts on mechanized warfare illuminated the need for the equivalent of radio communication in each unit, the parallel of batteries and fuel, repair from the field, and coordination with other systems. Finally, there is the general concept of winning the peace or thinking through a positive transition all by into. The first such trig point we identified was the Einstein de Haas effect in spin flips, depositing a small angular kick to a pendulum.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.